Amen. Amen. Shout it loud, hallelujah. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
Sing it loud.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
You are good.
Very day you are good.
Very day you are good.
Jesus, you are good.
Must be shaken, unmovable, keep on moving. I'm serving a God of fire, unshakable, must be.
Hallelujah.
And sorrow into the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for a wonderful time like this. We praise your holy name because you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power upon our lives. Thank you because you have never failed. You will never fail. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, we are here this morning, waiting and expecting to be blessed. Let your blessing overshadow our lives. Let our lives be a testimony to the glory of Jesus.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, advertise your power in our lives.
Amen.
Holy Ghost, glorify your name in our lives.
Amen.
every limitation imposed by darkness upon anyone's life here, let that limitation be shattered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. A louder amen.
Amen.
Before you sit down, I'd like you to go to 11 persons. Because this is November. And prophesy upon their lives. You tell that person, say, my friend.
My friend.
Your story must change to glory. In the name of Jesus. Say it to 11 people. Shout it loud, hallelujah. Let's have a seat. God bless you. I greet you all in the mighty name of Jesus. As usual, I'd like you to listen to me very carefully this morning and make sure that you understand everything that I say from here. For this morning, we're looking at 40 marriages that must not hold. What did I say just now? Don't hold that kind of marriage at all. 40 marriages that must not hold. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we see an interesting thing by the Almighty. God had been in the process of creation, and he had tested everything in his laboratory. And so far, everything good. Morning and evening, everything was good. Everything good. Everything good. Then when he got to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he identified something that was not good. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So, marriage is an institution of the Lord. Keep that at the back of your mind. Question number one, what really is marriage? Marriage is the state or relationship of being husband and wife. The state of being husband or the relationship of being husband and wife. That's what we call marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is the state of being united to a person of the opposite sex as husband or wife, according to scripture. These days, men are getting married to men, but that is madness and spiritual insanity, because the ordination of scripture says marriage must be husband and wife, a man and a woman, not a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. God did not ask Eve to marry Adam. He said, if she marry what? Adam. What is marriage? Marriage is joining together in wedlock of two people. Joining together in wedlock of two people. That is a close and intimate union. You may say, why are they telling us this kind of thing there? I'm telling you because if I start telling them in the adult church, most of it is also already a waste of time. Why? Because they have already married. Some have married the opposite. Some have married the deficit. Some have married their enemy. Some have married their father, their mother, their brother, their sister, and all kinds of marriages like that. So it's you who should know now before you put your leg into it. A close and intimate union. Now let me go forward now, tell you some hard facts about marriage. I've already shared some of them with you before, but I need to lay this background so that you know where we're going. Some hard facts about marriage. Number one fact, which I've told you before here, is that the next worst thing outside hellfire is a bad marriage. The next worst thing outside hellfire is a bad marriage. What did I say? It's a bad marriage. Two, the choice of who you marry determines the course of your life. The choice of who you marry determines the course of your life. Whether your life will succeed or will fail would be determined by the kind of person you married. Three. Marriages are made in heaven and not on earth. Marriages are made where? In heaven and not on earth. So if you want a good marriage, the place to go is to connect heaven. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Four. They say that love is blind, but marriage opens eyes. Even if you marry, if you marry in blind love, when you eventually get married, the marriage will open your eyes. What you didn't see very clearly, you now see clearly. The woman may not know that you snore badly, but when your snoring begins to wake her up at night, she will complain. The man may not know that when you sleep, you salivate heavily. But when your saliva begins to wet the pillow, somebody will complain. Statement number five. If you are following me, say yes.
Yes.
Or am I too slow for you?
No.
Statement number five. A wedding cake is the only cake that can give you indigestion for the rest of your life. A wedding cake is the only cake that can give you indigestion for the rest of your life. All of that cake will digest easily. But that wedding cake, if you are married to the wrong person, will trouble your tummy to you die. Six. It is better for people to laugh at you for marrying late. It is better for people to laugh at you for marrying late than for you to be unable to laugh after you are married. Sisters, what did I say just now? Let the sisters talk. Oh. It's better for people to laugh at you for doing what? For marrying late. Than to be unable to laugh after you are married. Can I hear the sister saying that one? Because some people, after marriage, their laughter just disappears. The smiles will run away. Seven. A marriage can be a holy wedlock or an unholy deadlock. It's either a holy wedlock or an unholy wedlock. An unholy deadlock. If you are here in this youth church and you are already married, no problem. God will bless you. God will bless you. Whenever you need plaster, somebody will bring it. Whenever you need iodine, somebody will bring it. Whenever you need fan, somebody will put fan on your face. So don't run away from your wife. It's too late now to run. But it's good for you to hear what we're saying now. 8. Marriage can be a wedlock or a padlock. Could be padlock completely, forever. And the destiny will be padlocked. Statement number 9, which I've told you over and over again, which I don't mind saying it 1,000 times, is that to marry for beauty or handsomeness, to marry for beauty or handsomeness is like buying a house because of the paint. To marry for beauty or handsomeness is like buying a house because of what? Because of the paint. The paint will wear off. Then you begin to understand. A person can use heavy, heavy makeup. The kind of terrible makeup that you won't know who is at the back of the makeup. That's why the best time to look at a woman properly is when she wakes up in the morning. Even if she wears lipstick to sleep, some of it will have rubbed on the bed. The thing wears off. And sometimes when it wears off, you may be saying, I didn't know. Ten. Successful marriage is always a triangle. Successful marriage is always what? A triangle. Man, woman, God. The man, the woman, the man at the bottom, the woman at the bottom, God on top of that triangle. That's what successful marriage is. 11. A child of God who marries a child of the devil will have serious problem with the father-in-law. Who is the devil? A child of God who marries a child of the devil will have very serious problem with the father-in-law. Who is what? The devil. After the wedding, it is too late for regret. It's too late for regret after the wedding. Thirteen. A good wife or a good husband is God smiling at you from heaven. It's God's smile. A good wife, a good husband is God smiling at you from heaven. I pray that the Almighty will smile at you. Amen. Your amen is very weak. Amen. And last but not the least, I could go on to 50, but no time. Last but not the least, many so-called engagements are encagement. Many so-called engagements are encagement. Many years back, I was invited to a wedding. I was not the officiating minister. I was just there, sitting down. This wedding was a very interesting wedding. I've never seen a wedding like that before. Because the fellow who was getting married, I don't know how many of you can see the front very well here. Can you see the man by the camera here? You can't. Okay. This man by the camera is not very fat. But the man getting married was about half his size. Very slim man. Very tiny, slim man. But the woman that she was supposed to marry was almost double this pulpit. And they were at the front. And the pastor was reading everything. Will you take this woman as your wedded wife to love and to cherish, blah, 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 till death do you part? The man did not talk. It was the woman who answered. The woman said, yes, you will. Anything they read, the man did not say one word. The man would say, yes, he will. Yes, he has no option. He will. He will. Oh. And the strange pastor went on with the wedding, although somebody was not talking. Then the wedding got to a stage where they said, okay, let us pray for the couple. So everybody closed their eyes. It was that opportunity I had. So I now ran there. I said, Mr. Man, you are the one getting married today. And you are not talking. I said, man of God, I don't know how I got here. That marriage lasted one day. One day. I know another marriage that lasted 1 week. And what caused the quarrel? Simple thing. Toothpaste. Toothpaste. The man said, in my family where I come from, when we press toothpaste, we press it from the bottom so that every bit of toothpaste will escape to the top. The woman said, no, in our family we press it at the center so it will come out quickly. And they began to argue. So argument of toothpaste, 1 week. Marriage is off. Whereas, this issue is simple. Buy two pieces of toothpaste. Madam, you be pressing your own at the center. Daddy, you be pressing your own from the bottom. Case solved, but it caused a quarrel. So that means in the first instance, the marriage was not supposed to hold. Sunday was a businessman, but very jealous man. Very jealous. His wife was a banker. They promoted his wife to a senior manager in the bank and gave her a new car. But because Sunday didn't trust the woman at all, so when Sunday came home and saw a new car at the front, said, this woman has brought car from her boyfriend. What kind of insult is this? In my home, so you bring a new car here. Sunday went for a cutlass. Cut the woman to pieces. Before he realized that it was a gift from the bank, then he now killed himself. But that kind of marriage was not supposed to hold in the first place. In Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18:22, very popular scripture. I want to bring out some information from you from this scripture, which will help you so much. Before I now start going to these categories, I don't know how many I can cover today, but whatever I cover, God willing, we'll come back and finish up. Are you in Proverbs 18:22? Can you read it loud and clear? Whosoever findeth what? A wife. Findeth a good thing. And obtaineth what? Favor. Favor. So for you to locate the right person, you need what? Favor of the Lord. This now brings us to one important fact, which I like you to listen to very, very carefully. God has favorites. Don't let any preacher deceive you by saying that God loves everybody equally. It's a lie. God has favorites. The Bible says God does nothing except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. There are some people in Nigeria now who can tell you who will win the election. There are some people who can tell you what will happen in 10 years' time. Who can tell you what will happen in 2 years' time. Because the God talks to them before he begins to talk to others. So God has favorites. Don't deceive yourself. God has favorites. And when the word favorite was taken from favor, so if you, the favor of heaven envelops your life, you will never make a mistake. But if the enemy has dried up the favor on your head, or there is no favor in your father's house, or the oil of favor there has dried up, you need to pray it back, so that without favor, God will do a good thing in your life. God has favorites. When I get to heaven, there is one man I am going to ask for. His name is Ananias. Ananias was a servant of God in Damascus. Paul had been killing the Christians anyhow. But Paul now decided to go to Damascus to go and kill the Christians there. But on the way to Damascus, God met Paul, smote him down, made him blind, and they led him as a blind man into the city. Meanwhile, Ananias was in Damascus. Ananias did not know what had happened to Saul. Ananias did not know anything. The Bible says, God called Ananias and said, Ananias, say yes, Lord. Said, I want you to go to a particular house, so-so street, so-so address. Say, there you will see Saul. When you get there, you find him praying. Lay your hands on him. Pray for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ah. Anna said, Lord, you said Saul, Abi? That's the man who has been killing Christians. You want me to go to him and die? Lord said, no, I've already changed him. He's an instrument in my hand. Immediately, Ananias heard that one, he jumped up. And he went to that address, specific address. Christianity is not a game of pick and choose, trial and error. No, no. Specific information. Go to that street, go to that house, you find Saul, pray for him, he's going to receive the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. If God can be that specific, the same God Almighty, look, I'm telling you the truth, can come to you 1 week before your examination, gives you all the questions like this. 2 weeks before, say you are going for an interview, this is the questions they are going to ask you. They will ask this, they will ask that, they will ask that, they will ask that. And because you are his favorite, you just go there, it becomes a walkover. I remember my PhD oral interview. Oral interview for PhD abroad in sciences is very stressful. A lot of people develop insanity because of defending a PhD. I've seen many people coming out of PhD interview, they broke down and they cried. They cried. When it was getting close to mine, God gave me a scripture. And I held on to that scripture. So the day of the PhD interview, when I sat in the waiting room, waiting for the external examiner, and I was smiling, a white lady who used to work in the office said, Daniel, you're smiling. You got a PhD viva, and you are smiling. I said, I'm smiling because the Bible says, you are very arrogant. You are very cocky. She abused me very well. She said, very arrogant. You are very arrogant, very cocky. You're smiling. People don't smile. Well, you look so confident. She did not know the God whom I serve. Anyway, I got in. And in that PhD interview, they will not allow your supervisor to come inside. The only person who will come inside with you is the head of department. And the external examiner will be there, head of department. Your supervisor is not allowed to come in at all. Because sometimes they start arguing with each other. So you just face the man alone. And immediately you get there, the head of department will say, I'm just standing here to prevent tempers from rising up. So if both of you lose your temper, I'm just to control it. I'm not here to defend anybody. If you fail, you fail. If you pass, you pass. That's what they're there for. So we sat down. He asked the first question. I answered. He asked me the second one. I answered. He asked me the third one. I answered. He turned to the professor. He said, I don't have any more questions. Then he shook my hand. He said, congratulations, Dr. D.K. Olukoya. 25 minutes, I was out. People enter 9 o'clock, they don't come out 3 o'clock. Some enter for 3 hours, they are there. Sometimes they will give them coffee. They'll be drinking coffee, they continue. 25 minutes, I was out because of divine favor. Can you raise up your right hand? Favor of God! My life is available. Look at me now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. Pasatala katiala. Open your mouth and declare it. In Jesus' name we pray. Are you following me, beloved? My department, the Department of Microbiology, University of Reading, is the first department of microbiology in the whole of the United Kingdom. Up to today, I still hold the record of the shortest PhD viva. I got in 11:05 and I got out at 11:30. It has never happened before. The last person before me, an African from Ethiopia, they started 9 o'clock. 3 o'clock, they were sitting there. The Ethiopian man came out, he was sweating. He said, you are a churchman, pray for me. And after they got him 6 o'clock, eventually he came out. They said they are coming to give him another interview. And they went away. That's favor. God has favorite person. My prayer is that you become his favorite person. Ananias went to where Saul was. And immediately he entered. He said, Brother Saul. He already was calling me brother because he had heard from God. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord that appeared to you on the way asked me to come here to pray for you, for your eyes to open, for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he did so. So that Ananias was the man that laid hands on Paul to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for his eyes to be opened. And Paul wrote 13 books in this New Testament that we have. So that man who laid hands on him and prayed for him, I would love to see him. To see who he was when I get to heaven. Specific people, God's favorite. Paul had been attacking other cities, capturing Christians. But the day he took on Damascus, he got into trouble. Because people like Ananias were living in Damascus. May favor locate you. May favor locate you. May favor locate you. In the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? 276 people were inside the ship, and the ship had gone astray. And they were all going to perish. In fact, they stopped eating because of Paul. Only Paul in that ship. One person. God preserved the life of 276 persons. Favor of God upon one person. So God has favorites. Yes. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. The Lord said he can go to places. But Jonah went away from God. God ran after him. God pursued him. One man said, go to blesses. The other man, he pursued him. Samuel was sleeping in the temple. Eli was sleeping in the same temple. And God came into the temple. He said, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel heard, but Eli, who was sleeping there, did not hear. And the voice was so loud that Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. So God can use a microphone in your room. If you are not a favorite, you will be deaf. Samson's parents, they were praying to have a child.
daddy and mommy, they were praying to have a child. But for some strange reasons, the first time the angel of God will appear to tell them about something, it was the mother the angel talked to. The father, the angel didn't want to talk to the man. When they had questions about the child, it was the same mother the angel went to again. So that mother was God's favorite person. The father was not. May you marry a person of favor. May you be a person of favor. Let your amen roar like thunder. Jesus had, first of all, had 500 disciples. From 500, they narrowed them down to 70. From 70, 12. From 12, 3. Peter, James, and John. Then from there, John. John the Beloved. Of all the disciples of Jesus, 12 of them, they all were killed. They all died terrible deaths because of their faith. It's only that John that was not killed. It was only John that died naturally. And not that they did not try to kill John. They tried to kill him. They even put him in a pot of boiling oil. They dropped him inside the pot of boiling oil and they were walking away. As they were walking away, they looked back only to see the man crawling out. And it was as if somebody just poured water on him. No bones. He was looking fresh. He said, what kind of spirit is this? They ran. When they could not kill him, that's why they threw him into the Isle of Patmos, from where he wrote the book of Revelation. That man, the beloved of the Lord, God has favorite person. You may now ask a question, how can I be close to God? How can I become his favorite person so that I can obtain favor, not only for a wife, not only for a husband, for everything that I want? The big thing is that you are as close to God as you want to be. You are as close to God as you basically want to be. If you want to be closer to God than this, there are things you can do and you'll be closer to God. Yes. You are as close to God as you want to be. If you increase your prayer temperature now, you increase the reading of the Bible, you increase your witnessing, you increase your prayer, you increase your meditation, you start getting close. You start getting close. You start getting close. But if you start decreasing those things, you start getting low. You start getting low. It becomes like the nursery song they used to teach us in our traditional Sunday school in those days. It says, read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow. You will grow. You will grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow. Then I say, don't read your Bible, forget to pray, you will shrink. Which is true. Person shrinks in God and the person does not catch fire at all. I'm praying for somebody here. Now by the time you finish this meeting today, you will become the center point of favor of the Almighty. In the name of Jesus. So you need that favor. You need to understand that one. To key into divine favor. And the more you move close to God, the more of his favor comes upon you. The more you travel away from God, then the less of his favor locates you. To travel away from God is like somebody plugs a pressing iron into electricity and you pull it out. If you pull it out, it may still be hot a little bit. After some time, it will cool down. But if you keep plugging, then the favor will be moved into your life. And I do not see any reason as a youth why you should not be a center of God's favor. Because most of the terrible things that some people have done, that God is running away from them, you are not doing it. You should not do it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So much for that small introduction. What are these marriages that must not hold? And now take them one at a time. The first marriage that must not hold is fast food marriage. Fast food marriage. What did I say? Give me an example of fast food. Mr. Biggs, tasty fried chicken. What is a fast food marriage? A fast food marriage is marriage based on wild lust and foolish love. Wild lust, foolish love. Lust dies. When a marriage is based on lust, when the lust dies, the marriage expires. When the marriage is based on orange breast, when the babies come and the breasts become pillow, the marriage dies. When the marriage is based on gyrating bum bum, and now there's a problem with the backbone, the back cannot gyrate again, the marriage dies. I don't know why you're laughing. When the marriage is based on ballooning lips, lips that are interesting to kiss, and all of a sudden the lips is drying up, it dies as well. It becomes the Yoruba proverb that the wife that will marry in the dancing hall will disappear through the same dancing hall. Fast food marriage. Just lust. Just like the shape, you like the size, you like the way the person walks, he talks, it expires. That kind of marriage should not hold. Two. The second kind of marriage that must not hold is the serpent in the pocket. Serpent in the pocket. That's the kind of second marriage. What did I call it? That is, serpent in the pocket is marriage based on contact with an enemy of God. You know the person is not born again. You know the person has no salvation. The person smokes, drinks, does all kinds of vices, and yet for some strange reasons you went ahead. What you've done is to put a serpent in your pocket. And at the appropriate time, the serpent will bite. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be unequally. You say, what relationship at light and darkness? One concord as the temple of God and temple of Satan. You have no business with them. And let me tell you one truth. There is no nice person. The only nice people are those who are connected to God. Any nice man can become unnice at the slightest provocation. I want you to understand this very well. So if you are here, you're already harboring the serpent in your pocket. Throw out the serpent now before it begins to bite. There have been sisters in this youth church. They found a serpent outside and they got married to the serpent. The serpent was following them to the youth church. So, serpent was coming out with them. I'll be singing with us. Anointing, fall on me. Secondly, after the marriage, he said, if you step into that youth church again, you are in trouble. And we never saw the sister again. Finish. Serpent in the pocket. What is the first kind of marriage that you know of? Second one. Third one is Red Cross Society. You know what Red Cross, what they do? When there is disaster, there is trouble, it's a problem. They rush food, milk, rice to them. So Red Cross Society marriage is marriage based on accidental pregnancy and abortion. Marriage based on accidental pregnancy and abortion. You are not ready for marriage, but you are sleeping with a woman. Or you are agreeing for a man to sleep with you. Now you are pregnant. You want to remove it, perhaps it refuses to be removed. Or you are afraid because you know heaven will thunder against you for taking a human life. And so you are afraid. So because of that, you decide to marry. If I have time, one day, I will come and show you a film here on how abortion is done. When you see it, if you see it, and you could still do an abortion, then you are heartless. Very heartless. I have the film. I'll come and show it to you here. They put the double mouth forceps inside the woman. And you could see the baby getting worried in the sack. Because they're very sensitive. Immediately that thing that is coming there is coming to the baby. The baby begins to run about inside that sack. You know, they live in a liquid sack. They run about inside the sack. Then the abortionist will push the thing to punch that sack where the baby is, so that the water that the baby is swimming drains out. That's the first thing they do. So when that thing is trying to locate where the baby is, you can see the baby panicking. As small as they are, tiny in the microscope, running about. Then when that thing punches, you could see the agony in the face. Then what the abortionist wants to do, he will now use that double forceps to locate the small head of the baby and then crush it. So locate the small head. The thing will hold the small head and then crush it. When it crushes it, then it begins to scoop it out of that womb. So when you marry a man just because you got pregnant, it's a Red Cross marriage. Four. Thus saith the devil. This is marriage based on demonic consultation. Your parents have gone to this place, they've gone to that place, they've gone to a native doctor, they pour sand on the floor, they look at you, they say, what's the name of the man? You give them the name. What's the name of the woman? They give the name. They consult their oracle, blah, blah, blah. The oracle that has seen that this one will destroy your destiny will say, yes, this is the right person. So, marriage is based on demonic consultation. It's marriage of thus saith what? The devil. Five. Are you following me? Five is witchcraft marriage. What is witchcraft marriage? Witchcraft marriage is marriage without clear divine approval. No approval. Like what's going on? And you know, as far as the Bible is concerned, witchcraft is rebellion. Every rebellion against God and disobedience against God is witchcraft. So any marriage you do when heaven did not approve, you have just practiced witchcraft. It is witchcraft marriage. Six. We have the syringe marriage. syringe, this thing the doctors use to draw blood. Syringe marriage. This is marriage based on blood covenant. Blood covenant. This may be strange to you, but there are people who will punch themselves with needle and put their blood inside a cup. The lady too will punch herself with needle, put her blood inside a cup. They will mix it together. They will put some drink like alcohol also. They will share it and drink it. And they will promise and say that we have formed a covenant. No, we can't. You can't marry somebody else. I can't marry somebody else. We've prayed for so many people with, like that, who went into such marriages, and then the man died, and the woman could not marry anybody again. Some, even as fiancé, somebody dies, and the person cannot marry anymore because of the covenant that have been formed. Blood covenant marriages are terrible marriages, and the blood covenant should be broken. And those kind of marriages will end in disaster. How many have we covered now? I want to be sure you are following me. What's number one? Number two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Good. So number seven is the marriage we call maximum prison. Maximum prison. And this marriage based on demonic control, domination, and manipulation. Based on demonic control, domination, and manipulation. We call it maximum prison. Many years ago, I knew a young man. I still feel sorry for him now. He got into a relationship. But after some time, he had been sleeping with this girl regularly. But after some time, he began to have some strange dreams. He was not a believer, but was having some strange dreams. We'll find that in the dream, this girl will be urinating on his head, and the girl will be pursuing him. Sometimes the girl will remove her underwear, her pants, and put it as his own cap. So he was getting worried. So one day, now useful face. When the girl came, say, look here, you. I know that you're not ordinary person, Joe. You know what? Don't come here again. No. You come here again, you will see. To his amazement, the girl laughed and said, I should not come here again. Say, you know what? You will be the one who will later invite me to come. And she walked away. This man got to the place of work. Next day, his sack letter was waiting. They sacked him. Not only did they sack him, they took away his car. And they gave him 1 week to vacate the house. What kind of thing is this? He ran back to his mother. Mama, this is what has happened. Blah, 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 blah. He told his mother that I quarreled with so and so yesterday, and this is happening today. The mother said, okay, no problem. Let's go to the native doctor. They went to the witch doctor. The witch doctor consulted Oracle and said, hi. Young man, you have no option. You either marry this one or you are finished. So, but why? Say, because she's one of our leaders. Your leader, Baba, she's your leader. But I can't marry your leader. I don't like this kind of native doctor work you are doing. Say, shut up! So they didn't like what the native doctor said. They went to a prophet, a garment prophet. And that one told them the blunt truth. Say, young man, that girl has familiar spirit. You have been sleeping with her. It's too late. You form a covenant with her. You have to marry her. If you don't marry her, I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do to help you in this church. You are finished. So he was the one who invited the girl back the third day. By the fourth day, they have returned him to work. They are giving him his car back. They are giving him his house back. So he has entered his maximum prison for life. May you not enter a maximum prison. In the name of Jesus, let your amen roar like fire. there is a marriage you call half bread. What did I call it? Half bread. It is based on principle of it's better than nothing. A bad marriage is worse than living alone. Living alone is even better. So half bread. So what can I do now? I've been too long on this issue. And I can't find anybody else. Apart from this man, the only problem is that he drinks so much that sometimes we have to pick him up in the gutter every night. So, but what can I do now? Half-bred marriage should not be allowed to hold. Number 9. There is a marriage you call laboratory marriage. Laboratory marriage. It is marriage based on trial and error. You are marrying based on trial and error. Instead of you to seek to become God's favorite person, to seek the face of the Lord, you are doing what you call random sampling. So you have Rose, you have Catherine, you have Deborah, you have Grace, you have Maria, and you are sampling them equally. I'm studying them equally. And you are asking this one, come and cook on Monday. Come and cook on Sunday. Come and cook on Friday. Come on. And you are sampling the food. That's the method you are using. Yeah. Then you are asking them to come and meet your mother. The one that can kneel down very well. You think that one has respect. The one that has respect. We call it trial and error. It will definitely backfire. It's good for us to tell you all this, which nobody will probably tell you, because 2/3 of every marriage is now ending in divorce. 2/3, including pastors' marriages. But it is this foundation that we should start to seriously look at. But once you repair the foundation, everything will be okay. But if that foundation is wrong, there's nothing you can do about it. You see, get into very serious trouble. Number 10. There is diabetes marriage. What did I say? Diabetes marriage. This is marriage based on financial or material interest. Diabetes is when there is too much sugar. Marriage based on material or financial interest. It's just the money or the material you are interested in. You don't really like the woman. You don't like the man, but you like the money. Like the money. And that's why sometimes when you see some of these very beautiful models, beautiful ladies on magazines, and you see the husband they marry, you say, blood of Jesus. They are not married the man for handsomeness. It's the money they want. I was at a foreign airport. I've forgotten now. Is this Spain or I've forgotten somewhere? And I saw this young man. And I saw an old woman sitting down. The young man is white. The old woman is white. The old woman will be around 65 to 70. And this young man must be around 17, 18. So, he was not allowing the mama to rest. He will kiss her face, kiss her neck, put his hand inside her breast, right there at the lounge. Well, there is nothing they don't do in those white countries on the streets. So I was getting uncomfortable. And so I now said, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Please leave your mother alone. Let her rest. Because I thought she was his mother. The man got angry. So, what do you mean? She's my girlfriend. While we're married next week, how dare you call her my mother? Ah, sir, I'm sorry. It's just because you You look so young and she's so old. So, say, where do you come from? I said, I'm a Nigerian. I said, bloody Nigerian, sir. Thank you, sir. It was obvious that what the young man wanted was our money. Nothing less, just the money. Money. Right now at the headquarters, I'm running 3 young men through deliverance. One is from Abuja, one is from Port Harcourt, and one is from, I've forgotten where the third one came from. They are young men in their early 20s, 21s. Their job is to be sleeping with married women about you. They employ them. That's what they do. That's what they do. So they've technically wrecked their lives, running them through deliverance. Diabetes marriage. And so once you have a fiance or a fiancée, and all that he wants from you, excuse me, send me credit. Are you going to pass by Mr. Biggs when you are going to buy something? Excuse me, in that bank where you work, do people sometimes bring suit for sale? Say yes, buy me suit. No, you're already in trouble. Number 11. Angelina to Devulina. That's another marriage. That is marriage based on satanic prophecy. Satanic prophecies. Thus say the Lord. So person. And the thus say the Lord is a lie. That is, they are converting you from Angelina to Devulina. 12. Kindergarten marriage. Kindergarten marriage. Or if you like, nursery school marriage. This is a marriage in which somebody is donated to a man at a young age. At the age of 8, they are giving this girl to a man who is 45. So the man is waiting for you to grow up and be checking your body every morning to see whether your breast is making progress, whether your body is making progress. Kindergarten marriage. Those are marriages that are not meant to hold. We've seen ladies, when they grow up to be proper age, they rebel against the man who has sent them to school. The man will take them up at the age of 8, 9, send them to school, sponsor them through university, marry them. By the time she will have passed through the university at the age of 21, 22, the man has probably become 70 or something like that, and the girl does not want to be seen with the old man again. He wants to run away. But the man has already sponsored her, paid for her fees, looked after her, and then now you don't want to marry the man. You want to run away with somebody else. Then serious problem comes. Number 13. We have what we call the dark marriage. Dark marriage. Marriages established by occultic means. The man likes you. You don't like the man. Then you went to do something to attract you by force. And so you just find yourself going on. And then it is after the marriage, your eyes will now close. How did I marry this person? How did I get here? There have been many marriages like that. The witchcraft power, the occult power breaks. And the marriage breaks down. Because the woman did not like the man, but she was drawn by some powers. There have been marriages like that. And I've seen cases where a wild garment prophet who got born again brought to us pictures of people that they've joined together. They use string to tie pictures of a man, a boy and a girl together, and to put them together by force. Whether they want the marriage or not, they should marry by force. And they marry them by force. And then there's a problem now. Number 14. the marriage of the stranger. Stranger. What is stranger marriage? Stranger marriage is marriage to a person you don't know. You don't know him. If you ask question about his past, he will dodge it. You ask about his present, you don't know what he's doing. You ask about his future, he can't give you a solid answer. You begin to check for character disorders in his life. You'll be telling that he gets angry, he's very deceptive, and he's telling all kinds of lies. This is why the marriage committee insists that courtship must be at least 6 months. So that you can at least know the kind of character that you are getting married to. I know a lady who came to me the other time and said, I have somebody I want to marry. Blah, 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 blah. She made so much noise. I said, okay, bring the man. The man first of all said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Tell that your Jew that I will not come. So I now said, well, anybody that wants to marry you and is refusing to come and see me, it is evidence that he has a skeleton in the cupboard and is afraid that I might see. So you better run. I said, I will persuade him. I will beg him more to come. Anyway, she eventually brought the man. As it was the sister who entered first, the boy followed him. As the boy followed him, a woman followed the boy in the spirit, carrying a baby. So they entered. I said, is that the person? Say yes. Okay. I asked the boy to move out because I didn't know him. The lady I knew. Say, this one, no way. No way. This one will disappoint you one day and you almost die. Say, I prayed, sir. Wait, what kind of thing is this now? Maybe that's why the man didn't want to come, self. I prayed. Anyway, I gave her some prayer. Say, go and pray. God will reveal secrets to you. The prayer I gave to her was the prayer called, make your way plain before my face. So she prayed. As she prayed, one morning, as she finished praying, the Lord says, daughter, rise up, go to the house of that boy now. So, but normally she didn't used to go there in the morning. Go maybe in the evening or weekend. But she was supposed to go to work. She worked in the bank. But somebody said, before you go to work, go to that house now. It's 6 a.m. Start going. She went. When she moved close to the place, she found a gathering at the front of their house. They were already sitting down. There was a pastor with collar. There was one young lady with a baby. And the parents of the boy, they were sitting down. And then she came in. Said, ah. So what's happening here? Your friend has just had a baby. Baby? But I'm supposed to be the fiancé. Say, this one is a mistake. It's a mistake. So, mistake. We'll finish this ceremony. They can take their baby away. They should come and marry you later. Then he discovered that what I was telling him was true. That was the person I saw with the baby following him the time they brought the person for prayer. A lot of people are marrying strangers. People they don't know. When the man now begins to manifest, or the sister begins to manifest, they begin to get really worried. 15. We have the wiper of tears marriage. What did I call it? Wiper of tears marriage. And it's marriage based on sympathy. Not love, sympathy. You just feel sorry for the man. Say, so the woman, that girl that used to follow you has left. Say, yes. She left. Say, sorry. Sorry. And every day the man is complaining. Hey, please be praying for me. She has left. Say, sorry. Sorry. And because of that, sorry, 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 you began to have sympathy. Sympathy, sympathy. And then, say, that man disappointed you. Oh, that man is very wicked. Oh, say, sorry, be praying for me. So you marry a person out of sympathy. It's a marriage that is not supposed to hold. 16 is the bewitched marriage. Bewitched marriage. You met a person.
First day you met the person, you had an accident in Okada, you broke your leg. Second day, your mother died. Third day, father died. Two weeks after you met the person, you lost your job. One week to the wedding, you bash your car. Then you should sit down and say, what is going on here? What is going on here? Bewitched wedding. A person with a horrible character, and you begin to think it will change after the wedding. Research has shown that those who have character disorder before wedding, that they have not changed, they never change when they get married. 17. Baby marriages. That is marriage without maturity. That's why marriage must be between a man and a woman, not a boy and a girl. You must be physically matured, spiritually matured, mentally matured, emotionally matured, and you must at least be able to look after yourself before you start looking after another person. If you as a man, your diet is not even balanced yet, and you as a woman, you have nothing to fall upon, you should not enter into a babyish marriage. 18 is emergency marriage. Emergency marriage, that is no preparation, just rush into it. Emergency marriage, no preparation, you just rush into it. Say, we must do it two weeks. The person is traveling abroad. He has gotten his visa. He will go in 2 weeks. So we must do it now. Ha! Let him marry you and take you away. Because all those emergency marriage, he's going abroad. We must do it now. They marry them, leave them here, go there, get another wife, and the one here is struggling. I've seen so many cases that when you come and say, we must marry in 2 weeks, the person has to go abroad, is going to study abroad. I say, when did you meet him? Say, last month. Say, no, it doesn't work like that. That's emergency marriages should not be allowed to hold. 19. Distant marriage. I've told you before here of somebody who met his wife for the first time at Heathrow Airport. The only thing he has had before that was a picture. They did the marriage in absentia, did everything, did the diary, did everything in Nigeria. They just posted the woman to him. He met the woman for the first time at the airport. And the woman eventually ran away. That is a situation we are battling with now. A lady found an internet husband. Internet husband. The family of the man came, took the dowry there, took everything there, they made noise here, they did all kinds of things. The man could not come for the wedding, he sent his brother to represent him. They organized visa for the woman, only for the woman to get to America. And first of all, the first thing that shocked her was the man was about half tall her size. The man was extremely short. So short that when they stand, the head of the man just touches her tummy. Two, the man had only one leg. He had lost one leg in an accident. Then the man had only one eye. Then, that's not all. The man smokes a pipe. And then once in about 2 weeks, the man will have this epileptic seizure.
So the picture she was seeing on the internet was just from the face up. And they made the picture to look as if it was a tall man, whereas he had to be bending down to be talking to the man like that. Bottom line, you need favor. And you need to become God's favorite person so that you are not derailed. I think I want to stop here. But, want to get to 20? Okay, let's go on. Want to go to 20? Number 20. Show glass marriage. Show glass marriage. That is, these noisy marriages that attract problems. Why should you decide to feed people who are not hungry? Or did you see anybody coming for a wedding and begin to shout at the wedding, "I'm hungry, oh, finish this wedding, and I'm hungry"? We are just feeding people who are not hungry. Why are you impressing people who will not say thank you? Who is interested in how many cows you bought for your wedding? In all my life, the noisiest wedding I've ever seen, the grandest and the most powerful wedding I've ever seen, was Prince Charles and Diana. Most of you, I think it's 83 or so, practically all the presidents of the old world were there. Everybody took holiday in the UK. There was public holiday. People were on the streets. Wow. The church service, I've never seen a church service like that. They brought in the best choir, they brought in the best singers, they brought in the best conductor, they brought in the best trumpeter, they brought in the best soloist, they brought in the best of everything to that wedding. What happened to the wedding? It has scattered. Not only scattered, Diana is dead now. What is the use in having a wedding that will end in debt years after the wedding? Reception is not compulsory. It's not a must. Cake is not compulsory. Expensive suit and gown, they're not compulsory. They're not. That wedding gown, you only wear it for one day. Finish. The only time people wear it is maybe when they die, if they are not fatter than that. They're not compulsory. People just waste money, waste resources for money you should keep behind and invest into something you have used it to cook rice for people who are not hungry. When I wanted to get married, I only invited 9 people. 9. I did not cook 1 grain of rice. The people who came, I didn't know who invited them, because I did not invite them. So since I did not invite them, and I did not cook rice, I did not buy cake, they were the one who brought their own cake. They're the one who cooked their own rice and brought it there. They were the one who served themselves, because I didn't bring any caterer. I didn't bring anybody to serve anybody anything. So when they were serving themselves rice and they refused to serve me at the high table, I was not annoyed, because I did not cook it. Let's rise up on our feet, please. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. The bottom line of what I've been telling you here: whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, he obtaineth favor. It's a question of favor. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, you cannot connect to that favor. I'm here to help you and I want to help you. We don't have time now because we want to go and pray some favor magnetizing prayer. So if you are here, say, Pastor, I want that favor of God upon my life, but I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm only going to count 10. If by 10 you are not here, I will conclude that you don't want to surrender your life to Jesus. 7 8 9 Rise up. Please stand. God bless you. I congratulate you. You've taken the most important decision in life. And God bless you as you do so. Just close your eyes. See what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. I pray that you will uphold them by your power, that you will lay your hands mightily upon them. Keep them standing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Open your eyes, look at me here. You've taken the most important decision in life, and I congratulate you. But please do me a favor. You fill our form, give it to us, then immediately we close. Please don't go home. Just come here. We want to pray with you more and get to know you better. God bless you. You may quickly go back to your seat now, then come back. Immediately we close. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to sing these warfare songs. Before we begin to pray this favor magnetizing prayers, and I see somebody here, that this week you are going into shall bring you uncommon favor. Holy Ghost, arise in your power. Holy Ghost, arise in your power. Ready to deliver, ready to save, ready to deliver, ready to set me free. Holy Ghost, arise in your power.
Louder! Holy Ghost, arise in your power. Holy Ghost, arise in your power. Ready to deliver, ready to save, ready to deliver, ready to set me free. Holy Ghost, arise, oh, in your power.
Holy Ghost, arise, oh, in your power.
Holy Ghost, arise, oh, in your power.
Open your mouth and say,
oh, in your power. Holy Ghost, arise, oh, in your power. Holy Ghost, arise, oh, in your power. Holy Ghost, arise, oh,
Holy Ghost, arise
in your power.
Shout hallelujah.
This prayer, I've never seen this prayer fail. So pray it with violence and with power. Pray it like a man or woman from another world entirely. Pray it in a way that even your enemy will know that they're in trouble. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. So, but now, my eyes see thee. You will shout this loud and clear. Say, my Father! Amen. Amen. When God appears in your dream, your life changes. When God appears in your body changes. When God appears in your academics, it changes. When God appears in your career, it changes. You are calling for his appearance now. There is no way you will encounter God or God will encounter you. There will be no difference. This is why I want you to pray this prayer after the order of Jacob, who said, I will not let thee go. My Father!